Psalms 100, if you would. At least I think it's one more time. I thought actually last time was the last time. But. Psalms 100, beginning in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, I'm going to apologize before I start because I forgot to print out my new notes. They're on my computer, though, so. And boy, I'm telling you, they were great. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring them with me. But anyhow, I actually was planning on starting something new this week, and it didn't really work out because I started looking at this, and then I started paging over, you know, just reading some more, and I got to Psalms 106, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And I went over to Psalms 107. See, because actually what I was heading for was Psalms 110, you know. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I like reading that. And I can read that over and over again. But on the way there, then I was reading this, and it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, Psalms 107, for he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. And I thought, well, I mean, if they wrote it in the first verse of Psalm 106, and they wrote it in the first verse of Psalm 107, it's in the last verse of Psalms 100. I better go back to it and say something about it. And I can still read Psalms 110 anyway. I did. But verse 5 starts out, for the Lord is good. Nothing in the Bible is good except God. Mm-hmm. Nothing on this planet, no one on this planet is good except God. That's the definition of good. Mm-hmm. If you want to, if we had a picture, we could put his picture by it in the dictionary of the word good. And everything else is not. That's all there is to it. Everything else is cursed besides God on this planet, in this universe. Everything else is under the curse. I'm always reminded in my head of the story of the rich young ruler who came to Christ. He came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? The first thing Christ said to him is, why callest thou me good? Mm-hmm. There is none good but God. Right. Mm-hmm. Now let that sink in for a minute when you think about it. He was asking that man, do you know who you're talking to?
Right, that's what he was.
Do you know who you're talking to? And the answer was not really at that time. Because he didn't call him good right any time after that in that whole account. You read it. It's in three of the Gospels. He does not call Christ Jesus good after that statement. Jesus Christ himself said, there is none good but God. Now, Jesus Christ is God. He was God. He is God. He ever shall be God. So Jesus Christ is good. He knew it. He was asking if that guy knew it. And I asked the same thing. There's none good but God. Can you call Jesus Christ good? Really? With your heart? Not just going to... Not just trying something new and something different by accepting Jesus. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? He is God. And for the Lord is good. No one else is. Paul put it that way in the negative. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Why? Because they don't know God. And if you get a glimpse, just a glimpse of who Christ is, who God is, just the smallest glimpse of the truth of God in Christ, you will see that you don't measure up. You will see that you are not good. I saw that in myself. I saw that in me. And every one of his sheep see it in them, his people, when he reveals himself to them. Like verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord is God." Ye know it. Nobody else does. The only ones that know the Lord are the ones to whom the Lord has revealed himself to. And that's the only way anyone can know the Lord, is by revelation. Walter talked about it last week. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. But he didn't stop there. He said, you have revealed them unto babes. Life from God is given. Knowledge from God is given of him, of Christ. It does not come from within, it comes from without. And that's the biggest problem with religion today. They're trying to take something from within and give it to God. He doesn't need it. Matter of fact, he doesn't want it. He won't have it. He gives to his people, which are his people from before the foundation of the world, everything they need. Why? He's good. He's good. And he takes care of every son that he has. And every daughter. He is good. But in our day and age, I like to use the word perfect. Because good for the lot, I mean, you know, oh man, this coffee's good. Popcorn smells good. And it does. From my point of view. But the Lord is perfectly good. Walter was talking about that. Who is God? People don't know who God is. And I'm going to tell you something. That is one of the biggest blessings that I have. That I can read this book. And he gives me the light. The understanding. Of him, his purposes, his work, and his way, that I went through 23 years of my life without any knowledge of whatsoever. I didn't even know there was a purpose. And that's the way the world still is. The purpose of God is to show forth exactly what he wants to show forth. Love, light, salvation, grace, mercy. It all comes from Him because it is intrinsic to God. It is not intrinsic to man. The only negative part in this whole chapter is in verse 3, and Walter said it last week, and I said it before. We have to put that in there. He made us, not we ourselves. Because we think we've got something to do with it. Fleshly. Those are fleshly thoughts. But the Lord is good. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. It does not come from within me or anyone else. I don't have a little spark of faith. I did not have a little spark of faith in me that needed to be fanned up into a flame. I don't have to make my decision for Jesus. He made one for me. He made one for every single one of His children. Every single one of His people. And that decision was made before the world was made. And now He is bringing it to pass. On His time, His schedule, and in His way. It's happening. It's happening right now. Because the Lord is good. What He has promised, He said it, I will bring to pass. I've purposed it. I will do it. No one else can. And His mercy is everlasting. There used to be an old trick Armenian preachers would use. They tell you to take a deep breath. And you go, and hold it. And you'd hold it for just a second. And they'd say, all right, let it out. And you'd let it out. They'd say, that breath is yours. The next breath belongs to God. That's true. It's theater, but it's true. It's going for an emotional effect and trying to appease somebody or work on their emotions. But it is true. Every breath we take on this earth is a mercy. Unless you're a child of God. Sometimes. I don't want to get into funerals, but everybody goes to a better place. And I wish they did. But you can't look at somebody and say, well, I hope so. You try to be nice to people. They're grieving. And I've been there. I've done that. I mean, I lost my mother and my father and a sister a long time ago. But God's mercy is everlasting. So if you have His mercy now, you always will have His mercy. Always. Okay? Now if you want to start with the saved and the lost and the saved and the lost stuff, forget about it. God's mercy is everlasting. God's mercy does not go away. And it is His mercy that I need. Because I cannot keep myself saved, Mason. I cannot keep myself in His good graces. I am not getting better and better every day in every way. And neither is anyone else, no matter what they say. I am thankful that I am not the person I was. I am thankful that I have learned and grown in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make this flesh any better than it ever was. And sometimes I'm thankful for getting older because it slows me down that I can't get into trouble I used to get into. His mercy is everlasting because he's good, because he is God. Once he gives something to his people, they have it forever. And once he has had mercy on whom he will have mercy, it's everlasting. And then you get into the juxtaposition of whom he will, he hardeneth. That's pretty much everlasting also. But he is good. His mercy is everlasting. It will never end. Going back to know ye that the Lord, he is God. What did Christ say eternal life was in John 17? To know God. And Jesus Christ whom he sent. The Son he has sent. This is eternal life. That they know God. In Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's a mercy. And that's everlasting. That's grace. And it's everlasting. That's life. And it's everlasting. He has promised it. He will perform it. He has purposed it. He'll bring it to pass. And he has given his mercy, and he does not ever take it back, no matter what anyone says. His truth endureth to all generations. And I understand what they wrote, why they put that italicized word in there, but I like leaving it out better. His truth to all generations. We've got it right here in this book. It's the truth of God. Now, we've got a society that won't read it. We've got a world that won't read it and won't understand it. But the truth is in here. And Jesus Christ is also been called the truth to all generations. There is only one truth, and that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's Old Testament and New Testament, and Walter, even the book of Revelations. There's one truth. Salvation is in one name, Jesus Christ, and in no other. Everything from the beginning of this book to the end of this book is about Jesus Christ, his true story, his life, his work, his results. And it is to all generations. Now, there are some, there's a word that gets thrown around called dispensations. And there are some who teach that people are saved different ways during different dispensations or ages of time. You know, you've got Genesis, you know, and then you had Moses showed up, and then you got the law, and then you have Judges, and then you had the Kings, and then you had this, then you had that. His truth to all generations. There is no salvation, there never has been salvation outside of Christ Jesus the Lord. You'll read it in the Old Testament. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He and his family were put in the ark. Everybody else ended up dead. The truth of Jesus Christ is eternal. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't an add-on. It wasn't a rescue plan, which is the way some people teach it. Well, God had to do something because man fell. I think God was there when he fell. I think God knew about it before he fell. And I think Christ was slain from before the foundation of the world. So it looks like they already had purposed it. All the Old Testament sacrifices were pictures and types of Christ. Without blood, shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That was true in the Old Testament, that's true in the New Testament. The Old Testament sacrifices look forward toward Christ. Right now in this time, we're looking back to what he had done. But we are looking at him now, seated on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is not still on the cross. No matter how many crucifixes people wear, or how big they are, or how small they are, or how big they are on the wall behind them. Redemption, which had been promised in the Old Testament, occurred. The offering was made. The blood was accepted. The offering was accepted by the Father. Not by me. It's not me that accepts his offering. His offering wasn't toward us. Walter said it last week. He was saving us from God's wrath. He did save us from God's wrath. Yeah. He did save us from God's wrath. He saved his people from their sins. Which is what the angels told them, fellas. That's what he was coming for. Call his name Jesus. They told Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. He did. Redemption is accomplished. Yeah. He bought in full, totally in full, each and every single one of his people. Those he had chosen. From before the foundation of the world. And his truth is to all generations. Walter's talked about it, and we've talked about it in times past. See, with this dispensational thing, people talk, like in Revelation, see, there's going to be 144,000 people saved. 12,000 of all the 12 tribes of Israel, they're going to be saved sovereignly. They're going to be saved sovereignly. There's an exact number. And they get all excited about it. That's the way God saved everybody. But they can't have it now. That's got to be in the future. They can't have it now because, see, that would interrupt their flow of what they believe and what they teach. Anyone who is saved in this day, in this age, in any age before it, in any age after it, is saved sovereignly by the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and the Father came by, looked upon us while we were in our polluted in our own blood, and he said, live. And until then, you never do live. And after that, you'll never die. Because his truth is to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. Because I am the Lord and I change not. I am the Lord and I change not. Well, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because if his mercy ceases to be everlasting, and if his truth changes from generations, I don't have a prayer. Because I need everlasting mercy. I need eternal life. I need perfection from outside of me because I don't have anything in me that's alive, that's perfect. That's good. He calleth those things that be not as though they are. I can live there. That's the only place I can live, is if he calls me something that I'm not in and of myself. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth to all generations, because his truth never changes, because he never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. They put that conjunction in there, and today and forever. You want it? He is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You put the the conjunctions in there because it's added up together. It's not separate. He is all of this at the same time. And his truth is to all generations. It has never changed and it never will. Because he is God, he is good. And we are to bless his name. And to bow to his name. Mm-hmm. And I am most happy to do so. To be given the privilege, the blessing to do that. Because he is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth is to all generations. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for you, Lord, through whom all blessings do flow, and through whom, by whom, we received every good and perfect gift from above, from the Father of lights, the knowledge of him and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his will and his way in this world. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.